The Bible says in Psalms 139 that he knew you before you were even born in your mother's womb. It said he knit you together. He formed you. It says you were wonderfully, beautifully created. And I love the scripture there where it says this. It says that God had more thoughts about you than there are sands on the seashore. That's a lot of thoughts. That's a lot of that. That means you aren't random. It wasn't by accident. And I want to let you know this. They weren't bad thoughts. God's never thought bad about you. Even when the Bible talks about the prodigal son being away from the home, it never said the dad was disappointed, the dad was upset. The Bible says the dad got up every day looking, anticipating for his son to return. Because the Bible says when they saw him a long way off, he had to be looking, he ran to him. God's never had a bad thought about you. Even on your worst days, even in your biggest mistakes. Now, has his heart been heavy for you at times? Absolutely. The further away you are from God, the harder it is on God's heart because he cares so greatly for you. Talking about God's plan today is what I want you to understand is you were created for divine destiny and a divine purpose. Not by chance. The Bible says in Psalms that every one of your days are written on a page in a book. There's a book in heaven right now that has your story on it. And it's a bestseller. It's not one of those that you pick it up, read the first chapter and put it down because you got so bored in it. That's not the life that God intended for you to live. God intends for his plan in your life to be so great. But a lot of times, especially when it comes into Easter, when we start thinking about God's plan and looking at God's plan, a lot of times we get the concept that the cross that Jesus went through was God's plan. And if God would let his own son go through something that hard, that maybe God's plan for you is not good. I want to start this off, this service, letting you understand this completely. The cross was never God's plan. The cross was God's answer. See, when we read the story and see all that Jesus went through, we think, well, man, we've got a rough God. He would let his only begotten son, who he loved so much, go through all that. I've said this a million times before, but you've got to know, God is not a child abuser, and God is not a wife beater. And he did not put Jesus through the cross. It was not God's plan. God's plan started in Genesis, when he created Adam and he created Eve, and his plan was to get up every day and live in communion with them, have walk with them, talk with them, provide every need and more than enough in abundance for them. God's plan for them was nothing but everyday great. And God's plan for you is the same. But because we see what sin has done, and we may misinterpret that God's answer to a problem was his plan, then a lot of times we get to thinking that the bad things in our life are designed in God's plan. And I want you to know something. God never planned one bad day for you. God's never planned one broken-hearted moment for you. Those were not God's plan. Just like the cross was not God's plan. I want to read, Joe, we're going to go into our first scripture here. And in Matthew 26, verse 36, we're going to pick up in the Easter story on where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's facing the exact moment a lot of us face on a day-to-day basis. He was going through an extremely tough, hard situation. He knew things were bad. There was no turning or getting away from it. He could feel the tension in the air. A few days before, they were anticipating and celebrating him coming in to the triumphant entry. But we talked about this last week. Because they didn't recognize what a Savior really looked like, now the whole city had turned against him. And now those that were celebrating him just a few days before, because they didn't think that God, that Jesus, when they thought the Messiah was coming in, they thought he was going to come in with a sword, and he came in with peace. They didn't recognize God's way and his way of dealing with things, that they turned from him. And so the same crowd that was cheering him, now he knew they were out to get him. This is a tough day on Jesus. And it said this. It says in verse 36, it says, then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he says to his disciples, sit here while I go and pray, and pray over there. And he took him, Peter, and two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Stay here and watch with me. Verse 39 says this. He went a little farther. He fell on his face and he prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." I want to talk this morning, and you say, "Cricket, I want to." You may be taking this out of context, and I'm not taking anything out of context. I ask that you stay with me over the next several minutes as I try to draw this point that the Lord has spoke to my heart this week for today's message. We find Jesus coming into a garden, facing this hard circumstance and this hard situation. And in this hard situation, Jesus is saying, "God, this is tough. Jesus, this cup that I'm being served is so bad. If there's any way I can get out of this, God, if there's any way you can release me from this, if there's any way it can be any different, let it." But then he came in with this statement that changes everything. At this moment when he said that, a spirit rose up inside of him. And the word, "nevertheless." Meaning that his flesh felt the pain. His flesh saw the fear. But he also knew that if I do it my way and I get what I want, then in this life, I will not get all that God has for me. So he said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." Today, I'm going to take that word, "nevertheless," and I'm going to make that word. I'm not going to make that word a word. I'm going to make it a sentence, and I'm going to make it a statement. Today, I'm going to talk about God's plan. And God's plan for you is nevertheless. It is only the very best. I know this. Me and you have gone through this life, and a lot of days we've been facing tough situations and hard circumstances. And you know, the way it is, the way we were designed, the way God made us is we have reason and we have thought. And the Bible actually says this, that we make plans. And I want you to know something, that when you make a plan for something in your life, your plan A doesn't have to be, is not usually God's plan A. But God never runs on plan B. He only runs on plan A. And God's plan A is better than your plan A. And here Jesus, knowing that he came to earth, gave his life. He knew he was to die. He was still torn in this battle. What I'm about to go through is going to be hard. What I'm about to go through is going to be rough. And when you read that, God, why would you have Jesus go through that? No, God did not have Jesus go through that. God sent Jesus to be the answer. God's plan from the beginning was the resurrection. God's plan was never the cross, but the cross was the answer. So you've got to understand, it wasn't God's plan for Jesus to go to the cross, but sin's plan was for you and me to go to the cross. And because sin has a price and sin must be paid for, God created and came up with an answer. And when he released his answer into this earth, his answer that was for our mistakes and our sins and our separation, Jesus chose to do it for us. But it wasn't easy on him. I want you to know something. Sin still has a payday today. Sin still has a payday. Just because Jesus died on the cross does not mean that all sins will not be paid for. Because there are some people that will not accept God's answer. And if you do not accept God's answer, then your sin will be paid for. I know this in my own personal life. There have been times that I did things my way instead of mom and dad's way. And I usually paid for them in a big way. Some of the biggest mistakes I've made in my life are when I determined that my way was the right way, and my way was more important than any other's way. And since my way felt better for me than their way felt, then I was going to go with my way. And some of the greatest things that have ever cost me, the biggest mistakes I've ever made, and the things that I have to deal with still constantly came from my way. There's a scripture that says this. It says it in Proverbs. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart." I know you sitting out here this morning on this Easter Sunday, there's been a lot of plans in your life. And you need to know this, that not every plan that you and I make, not every plan that is there comes from God. God has a plan for your life. But the Bible says man has many plans. Many plans. And what I've had to do and what I've had to learn is I've had to learn to get a spirit inside of me, the same spirit that I've seen inside of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, that when I want it my way, I have to come to a place to trust that God has a way. And His way is better than my way. Whether I understand His plan or not, whether it makes sense to me or not, and I have to come, a spirit rise inside of me that is nevertheless spirit. I will never allow my life to be anything less than what God has intended it for me to be. And that's a choice I get to make. And that's a choice that you get to make. See, Jesus paid the price on the cross for your sin. But if you don't go God's way to the cross, then it remains your sin. God has a plan for every area of your life. Do you know that God's got a plan for your marriage? God's got a plan for your money. God's got a plan for your children. God's got a plan. But the thing about it is, a lot of times we don't give God the opportunity to do His plan because His plan, in our eyes, seems like it will be pain. I want to tell you something about your plan. Your plan will always end in destruction. Here in Proverbs, it says this. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart. Is it up there? Read that next word with me. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel is that which will stand. We've got our way, and we've got God's way. Even Jesus was placed in this spot. Even Jesus was put into this circumstance. He came facing a great challenge. He knew there was a great destiny and a great calling on His life. The Bible says they found Himself in the Scripture. When He was young, he was reading the Bible and said, whoa, God's got a plan for my life. And He knew what His plan was. As a matter of fact, just a few days before, Jesus made this statement that you're going to tear this temple down and in 3 days it's going to be rebuilt. He was prophesying and speaking about His death. Jesus knew that He was going to go to the cross. He knew He came to pay the price for our sin. So why would Jesus try to talk Himself or try to talk God out of doing it His way instead of doing it God's way? Why do you suppose that this is what I believe? I believe because Jesus knew that He was made just like you and I with an earthly mind, earthly body, but He had a heavenly spirit. And He knew that when His spirit paid our price, it was going to be the first time that He would ever be separated from God. I don't believe it was the pain He was going to go through, because the Bible says that Jesus loved us enough to come. I believe the reason why He was trying to talk God out of that, because He knew if I go to that cross, it'll be the first time in any moment I will be separated from my dad. It'll be the first time in any moment my God will have to pull back from me. And Jesus knew the pain. And Jesus knew the heartache. And Jesus knew the emptiness that a life being separated from God's plan would be. But then a spirit rose up inside of Jesus. And this is what He said. He said, nevertheless, God, the last thing I want to do is be separated from You. But nevertheless, if I do it Your way, it may look bad right now. It may feel bad right now. It may not be where I want to be right now, but if I will do it Your way, You will never let my life be any less than Your very best. And if I will do it Your way, and I take a spirit that says nevertheless, the whole plan of Easter was never meant for Jesus to go to the cross. That was the answer to sin. That was the devil's plan. The devil knew, if I can get them to blow it, I get them. Unless someone else pays their price. So either way, the devil thought he would win. But it didn't matter, because God knew this. If you do it God's way, it will never be less. You will always come on top. Heather's going to come and speak to us just for a moment. And we'll come up and finish her meeting.
I'm emotionally exhausted. No money in the bank. And I'm so tired of worrying what everyone thinks. And I feel like I'm dying. My eyes are bloodshot red from crying. And I keep saying that I'm trusting you, God. But I feel like I'm lying. Because I'm drowning so deep in debt. And my life is filled with so many regrets. There's nothing that I can do to help me to forget. So my question is, again, God, do you still make dry bones live? And he said, yes, my child, I do. Because I am who I am. I am the resurrection. I order the steps of the righteous and give them direction. No weapon formed against you shall prosper because you're under my protection. I overcame death and it's under my subjection. Because I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So I'm saying, I not only give life, but am life. So let me breathe through you when you are out of breath and trust that I can resurrect any problem from death. And look, and do not look to the right or to the left, but look to me and see how I see. And I'm telling you, don't despise the days of small beginnings. The end of a matter is better than its beginning. So know that I've got your back. And Team Jesus is winning. Because I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. So wipe the tears from your eyes and realize. This world and its desires are passing away. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. And I never lie. I am truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. So again, I'm saying, I can raise your dry bones from the dead and tell them to live because I have the power to forgive man's sins. I condemned sin while still in the flesh, overcame the power of sin and death. So I can certainly speak life to dry bones and give them breath. Come to me when you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And I always see you, even when no one else does. Because I am the true and living God, always existing, always here, and always was. I will make your dry bones live again because I am the resurrection.
Praise God, that's the God we serve. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to share with you this morning just the promises and the good things that God has for you in your life today. And can we start by looking at Jeremiah 29:11? This is a promise that God has for us in his word. It says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. God's plan for your life is hope. Hope in every area of your life. And I want to look at three areas this morning. Areas that the enemy attacks in our life. But for every area that is there, God gives us a promise. Several promises in the scripture throughout his word. The first area I want to look at that God gives us hope is hope for our families, for our children. And, you know, there is a famous quote, and we've used this before. The human body can only live 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. And I don't know where everyone in this room is this morning, but if you're at your 1 second, I want you to know that there is hope in what Jesus did for you on the cross. God gave us his son to die on that cross so that we have that hope, that plan for hope. You know, I heard a pastor say once, you're going to make a choice in your life. There will be a price. You will either pay a price for success, for goodness, for the things of God. And that price may be leaving that past behind, leaving that group of friends behind, or you'll pay a price for failure, for sin. And I don't know about you, but I would much rather pay that price for a hope and a future that God and Jesus intended us to have. So I want to look first at the hope that he gives you for your families, for your children. And one of the scriptures I'm going to look at is Proverbs 22, and it says, I'll read it real quick. Train a child up in the way it should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. And in that scripture, it tells us that as Christians, if we raise and train our children up in a Christian home, we have the promise from God that these children will come back one day. If they stray out and go away from God, they will come back. God's word never returns void. That is our hope and that is our promise. And that is why Jesus died on that cross, to save us from our sins, to save our children, to save our families. The second area I want to look at that the enemy attacks so hard is our marriage. You know, in the beginning, it says in Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. He created man and woman. And he created them and brought them together. See, God created us in his image. He loved us so much. He created every man and woman to dwell together for companionship and love. He created it in perfection in the beginning before the garden. That's what God intended for us. God intends for us to love each other because the scripture says God is love. In everything we do, we have to remember that God is love. And the third thing I just want to touch on real quick is God, before you are a husband or you are a wife or you are a parent, God created you. God created you as an individual, as a person with a purpose. And as I read that earlier, that we can only live 1 second without hope. I think that's where the enemy attacks us the most. And I don't know where you are this morning as you sit here in this service, but I know oftentimes the first place that God, we see that the enemy attacks is us personally in ourselves. Whether it be a lie from the enemy that we're not good enough or that things won't get better or our situation won't get better. The enemy creeps in and he lies to us. But God says this morning through the blood of Jesus and every day that there is hope no matter what situation that you're in life. I want to read you a few scriptures to show you different places that God shows us that hope. And this morning I want to read to you Hebrews 12:28 and 29 says, therefore, since we receive the kingdom of God, which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer God an acceptable service or reverence. We receive the kingdom of God that cannot be shaken. There is nothing stronger than the covenant we have with God, than the kingdom of God. In Psalms 136:26, it says, give thanks to God, the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. See, oftentimes we have a wrong misconception of love because our love, oftentimes, whether or not we know it, comes with conditions. But God's love endures forever. There are no bounds to God's love. There's no end to God's love. God's kind of love is a love that we cannot understand. God gave his only son to die on the cross because of his love for us. I'd also like to read a couple of more scriptures this morning. John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Amen. As we walk in our day-to-day lives, if we can show that love to those that we come in contact with, we show the love of God. We show God in our lives. If you say nothing else, if you do nothing else, by showing someone love and kindness, giving them an example of hope, you never know as you walk in your life who you're going to come across or what situation they're going to be in. But oftentimes love and compassion, the love and compassion of God, can be the one thing that may give someone hope. And you could change their life just by that simple act of loving kindness. And there's one more scripture I want to share this morning. Actually, it's in Isaiah 7. It says, Isaiah 28:7, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man is his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him, and to our God, for he is abundantly pardoned. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. And praise God for that, that his thoughts are not our thoughts, that his ways are not our ways. Because so many times our thoughts, whether it be towards things on the outside or ourselves, are so negative and condemning. And God assures us, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. And my ways are not your ways, because God's ways are perfect. And I just want to encourage you this morning. As I said before, I don't know where you are in your life, but I just want to encourage you. We will come to a point of the service here at the end. No matter where you are, just cry out to God. If you are at that last second of hope, just say, God, I see you, and I'm ready to receive your hope. I need your hope, whether it be over your children, over your marriage, or over the enemy attacking you. Just cry out to God and say, God, I need your hope, and he will give it to you.
Easter. What takes place is our mind instantly goes to thinking the price that Jesus paid. And a lot of times, because His price was so big, we think that God would put us through the same price. We see the cross. We see the blood. We see the beating. And we think, if God loved Jesus that much, and He was His beloved Son, and He let Him go through that, then the things going on in my life must be part of God's plan too. The home that I grew up in that an ungodly man may have molested or beat, or a marriage you've been in where the partner left you brokenhearted, or a dead-end job and a career where you can't hardly make yourself get up and go out of bed any day. When we look at our life and we try to put God's will in it, the truth of the matter is a lot of us face a lot of hard things. That's why I said when we began this thing, the cross was never God's plan. It's God's solution. And you must know this, God never would have let Jesus go to the cross if there wasn't a tomb on the other side. The Bible says God will never let you go through anything you can't handle without creating a way of escape. God's will was that Jesus live for eternity. Now, did He go to the cross? Absolutely. Because your sin and my sin had to be paid for. When we're talking about God's plan here today, I want you to understand something. God has such a big plan for you. All the thoughts, as numerous as this grain of sand on a seashore, those weren't bad, negative, hard plans. Ever. As a matter of fact, He designed you to live perfectly in a garden with every need met, with every desire taken care of, with every moment having open communion to Him. But what happened? How did we go from paradise to pain? Sin. Sin has such a great price that it takes people from paradise to pain in just a moment. The enemy is so tricky and so sly that he makes us think that, you know, that our sin doesn't have a price to pay because Jesus already paid for it. So we can, as Romans 6 says, live how we want to live so that grace may increase. But Paul said no. He said no. You don't live how you want to live. If you want a paradise life, if you want God's will in your life, then we got to do it God's way. What you need to understand is God's got a way for every part of your life. Every minute detail, every moment of every minute of every day, God has a plan for you. And the Bible says it's good, not evil. I was a preacher's kid my whole life, growing up in a church, being felt like at times I had it forced down my throat and I didn't have a choice in the matter, and I didn't get to choose whether I wanted to be a Christian or not. It was just gonna, and I grew up with the mentality of, you know, God's way is tough, God's way is hard. Even in some points, God's way is bitter. I've done many funerals in my adult life, and I've sat with families and they would say things like, well, he died and, you know, it was God's will for him to go. No, you need to understand, God's will for your life is nothing but good. But sin has a price to pay. But what you need to know is, Jesus paid that price. And because Jesus paid that price on Calvary, if you will do it God's way, God's got a plan for your eternity. God's got a plan for your tomorrow. God's got a plan for your today. And God's got a plan for your yesterday. I love it. When Jesus was put in the tomb, that was our plan. When He came out of the tomb, that was God's plan. You may be here this morning saying, Cricket, my life is such in a mess. My life is so broken. My life is so heavy and hard. I'm facing so much. I've got this doctor's report. I'm living with a spouse that wants to leave me. I've got children that are stressing me out to the very max because I know they're not. You're living under all this heaviness. You've got money pressures. You've got all kind of situations going on. You need to know this is not the will of God. I want to show you a picture real quick of the will of God. The Bible says this. I left my notes over here, sweetheart. Don't I got the most beautiful wife in the world? That's proof God's got a plan. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. You haven't even imagined how good God's plan for your life could be. You can't. It says, no eye has seen, no ear heard. Have you ever seen successful people? And you thought, man, I would love to be successful. Have you ever seen well people? I wish I'd be. God's plan for you, the Bible says, is to be the head, not the tail, to be above, not beneath. God's plan for you is always so greater than you can even. Your greatest imagination can't compare to what God's plan is for your life. The thing about it is this, then why is God's plan not reality in my life? Why do I still go through these hard days? Why? Where was God when they were beating me? Or where was God? See, when Jesus went to the cross, everything He went through was connected to God's plan for you. The Bible says, by His stripes we were healed. When they tied Him to that whipping post and they beat Him them 39 times. You know there's 39 diseases on this planet? And because there were 39 beatings, diseases on this planet that the enemy brought into this world through sin, God's answer to that was 39 stripes on Jesus' back. So that not a disease can leave a mark on your body. God's plan is for you to be well and whole. Jesus had people punching and beating. Jesus had people rip and hurt and doing unbelievably imaginable things to Him. It was never God's plan for you to be hurt that way by your closest friends or your loved ones or your family. That was never God's plan. That was sin. But Jesus paid for that sin on the cross. It was never Jesus' plan for you to die and go to hell. It was never God's. Do you realize that hell was not created for a single human to ever go into? A lot of people say, if we have such a loving God, then why would He create hell? Because He never created hell with the idea or plan for one single human to go to hell. And if we'll do it God's way, you won't ever have to worry about going to hell. The problem is when we want to do it our way. I know a lot of times in my life, I've been faced with doing things God's way or doing it my way. And the times that I've done it my way, I've reaped the benefit of sin in my life. But every time I've done it God's way, He's brought blessing and peace and hope and safety and protection. But a lot of times, what's happened is I've had to pick up my way and the mess that is made, and I bring it to the foot of God and say, God, look at the mess that I've made. And I love the fact that every time I've ever done it, God's put it back together for me. I don't know what circumstances or situations you've got going in your life. I prayed for weeks about this message for Easter. And what the Lord told me to tell you today is this, that I have a plan for your life. And if you will do it my way, if you will allow me to enter in, if you will let me be Lord over your situation and over your circumstances, if you will trust me enough to do it my way, no matter what it feels or how bad it hurts, if you will trust me and do it my way, He says this, nevertheless. I want to read a scripture right here. And it's found in Luke chapter 5. And it picks up on the story where the disciples went back to doing things that they used to do. Peter was fishing. He'd always been a fisherman. He knew how to fish. And the Bible says that he was fishing on this day, and they fished all night long, and they could not catch any fish. Now that, for a professional fisherman, that's odd. You would think they would at least catch some bad fish. You know, the fish that nobody else wanted, but the Bible says they fished all night, they didn't catch a single fish. I don't know about you and your life, but a lot of times in my life, I find myself there doing things that I know how to do, and I've done them for so long that I just do them this way, and I do them this way, and finally, I get to the end of my rope. Sometimes I find out I can't make it work no matter how hard I try. Have you guys ever been there before? You just can't make things work. And so then you just run yourself to death, or you run yourself in circles, and you're doing everything you know to do. the way you've always done it, the way it's provided for you, or even this. You know, we are humans are driven by this impulse. We're always running from pain and pursuing pleasure. Every decision you make in your life for yourself, you're either running from pain, trying to get away from pain, or trying to get closer to pleasure. Peter and the disciples that night were fishing all night long, doing everything they could do to try to make this thing work, try to make a living, try to support their families. And the Bible says that at daylight they couldn't make it happen at all. But then look what it says. The Bible says Jesus cried out to them from the bank and said, "Hey, lower your nets on the other side." Now, don't you think professional fishermen know what side to fish on? You would think, you know, and they were tired, they exhausted, they had done everything they knew to do, and it was still coming up empty. And the Bible said, Jesus said, "Lower your nets on the other side." And this is what Peter said. He said this. In verse 5, it says, "But Simon answered and said to him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing.'" I want to speak to somebody here right now. You've been trying to do it your whole life, and it's still coming up with nothing. You've been doing it the way you've been taught to do it. You've been doing it the way you've always wanted to do it. You've been pursuing the things that you've wanted or the things you've liked. You've been pursuing the things that get you out of pain or got you through what you've been through. You've been pursuing it and doing it your way your whole life. It has brought you to this moment that right here, right now, you still say, "I'm still empty. I've done it my way and I'm empty." And Jesus said, "Put the boat net on the other side." And this is what he said. He said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." He didn't want to do it. He didn't feel like doing it. He was tired of doing it. He'd been doing it all that way, and he did not understand how doing it God's way was going to make any difference. But what he decided was this. He decided, "I'm not going to settle for anything but the best. So never the less. I'm going to do it your way, God. Because if I do it your way, you will only release blessings into my life. You will only release healing into my life." And when you do it God's way, the Bible said they lowered the net. And they pulled in such a harvest that their nets could not contain. God wants your life to be so blessed. God wants your life to be so prosperous. God does not want you to be alone. God does not want your heart to be broken. God does not want your bank account to be empty. God does not want your health to be failing. God does not want any of that for you. And until you make the decision that I will never settle for the less. I will only settle for what God has for me. I will only do what God wants me to do. I will only be what God created me to be. Then you will live a life of less every month. But when you make the decision, nevertheless, even if it means going to a cross. You say, "Well, Cricket, what do you mean going to a cross?" Decisions and things we've done in our lives, truth of the matter is, has brought us to painful situations. And things that other people have done in our lives bring us there too. But you must know this, that God's way says this: if you're in a cross, He's not going to leave you in a grave. He's going to come bring you out. Romans says this: you were dead and buried with Christ, but you rose again. You got to understand. See, we think this: well, it was easy for Jesus to get out of the grave. I want you to tell you something. Jesus couldn't get himself out of the grave. Have you ever thought about that for a moment? We think, yeah, Jesus rose from there. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says it wasn't Jesus that got himself out of the grave. The Bible says this: it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And if I'm in a tomb in my life today, if my marriage is in a tomb, if my job is in a tomb, my finances, if my health is in a tomb, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. And if He wouldn't leave Jesus in the grave, He's not going to leave me in the grave either. If you're here this morning, I'm telling you, that God would never have you live less than His very best plans for your life. And if you will make the decision today, nevertheless, God, I'm going to do it your way. everything will change. If you'll live your marriage His way, your life will be the greatest marriage you'll ever have. If you'll live your health His way, your health will be better than it's ever been. If you'll live your spiritual life His way, you will be happier and more fulfilled than you could ever even imagine, because you were built and designed for nothing but the best. It's when we settle for the less. And you say, well, how do I settle for less? You settle to do it your way. When you do it your way. Right now, I'm here to tell you this. God's plan for your destiny, God's plan for your eternity, is for you to be in heaven with Him for the rest of eternity. But I'm here to tell you this too. If you don't do it His way, you're not going to get there. God's plan for you this morning is for your children to be raised in a home that knows and loves God, and they be protected, and they be well, safe, and out of danger with His angel charger. The Bible says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadows of the Almighty. God got such protection in store for your life. But if you don't do it God's way, if you don't do it God's way, you say, well, Cricket, then where was God when Dad was beating me? Or where was God when I was being mistreated at my work? Where was... And you're coming to God this morning with scars from your past that you've been through, that some were your fault, some weren't. Let me tell you this. The Bible says all things work together for good for those who love the Lord. Yes, what others did to you was a result of their sin. It may have left you scarred. What you've done to yourself is a result of your sin, and it may have left scars. But I'm here to tell you this. When Jesus hung on that cross, you know the only thing that came out of the cross when He came out of the grave was scars. The only thing He went with the cross on. And let me say, you know the only thing in heaven man-made are scars. Only thing in heaven today man-made were scars. It's the only thing you can carry, because what happens is once scars go from a cross to a resurrection, they're not scars anymore, they're testimonies. And when a scar becomes a testimony, your testimony now at this point can take it and change other people's lives that are headed toward the same destruction that yours was at one point in time. The Bible says when He walked up to His disciples and they couldn't believe, He said, well, just looky here. Look what, this is me. I was the one that went through that. But God didn't leave me there. He got me out of that mess and He brought me here. Life with God is not without pain. That would be a lie if I tried to tell you that. But life, doing life God's way, is this way. Weeping may last for a night, but the Bible says joy will come in the morning. I want to tell you this. If there's an area in your life right now that you haven't been doing God's way, God has something better in store for you right this minute. I'm going to close with this. It is 12:02. I'm dismissing right now. If you're here this morning and you're saying, Cricket, I'm about to walk, you know, if I were to walk into destiny right now, if I were to walk into eternity right now, if I were to walk out of this sanctuary like a little girl did 3 years ago, go to a family gathering with no plan at all, that being her last day on this planet, but she hit that tree and she walked into heaven that day, because in this sanctuary, just a few hours before, she was getting things right with God. If you're here to say, Cricket, I don't have things right with the Lord, I've been living my life my way, but today I'm tired of living a lower level life. I want to move to nevertheless. I want to get a spirit that doesn't settle for anything but what God has stored for me. And I know God has got. I want you right now, if that's you, if you're not right with the Lord, I want you to stand to your feet right now, unashamed. The Bible says this, nevertheless, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Do you understand that's what it says? Nevertheless, I am not. If you're not right with God, you stand up right now. Give these a big hand clap. They have just decided. Nevertheless, and I'm here to tell you this, your knife will never be back where it is right now. It will never be any less than where you are. From this moment on, God is going to change your life, bless your life, open doors you could not open, heal disease you could not heal. You are making the greatest decision of your life. You're saying, God, not my way, but your way. Now I want to ask you this. You guys remain standing. Stay standing. I'm going to pray with you, but I'm going to ask people else in here. You say, well, Cricket, it's not an eternity issue with me. It's been a daily issue with me. I've got things in my life. I've been doing them my way. I've been looking at things on the internet I shouldn't have been looking at. I've been, you know, putting things in my body I shouldn't have been putting things in. I've been running with people that I know God doesn't want me running with. I've been doing an area of my life my way. but I can see that doing it my way brings nothing but less. But when I do it God's way, it will bring never the less in my life. It will only bring prosperity. It will only bring blessing. You say, Cricket, I've got things in my life I got to get right. I want you to stand up right now, and I want you to give them a big hand clap as they do. If you got areas that you know they need to turn, stand up. Now, Joe, I want you to make the stage romantic put lights up here and turn that out. I want to pray with everybody in here. Then I'm going to dismiss you. I want everybody in here that is standing to pray this with me. Because there's no power that I have that can change your circumstance. But God has the power to change every bit of it right this moment. I want you to repent. See, dear Father, thank you for sending Jesus in my place. I deserved to die. I deserved to be beat. My sin and my decisions and doing it my way should have cost me the cross. But thank you for sending Jesus to pay my price for me. And I make the choice this moment that I'm going to do it and I'm going to accept your plan. Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for my sins. I believe you died on the cross for my sins, but I also believe God didn't leave you dead either. That you rose from the dead on the third day. And today I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you're my Lord. And I ask you to forgive me for anything that I have done in my own desires and in my own wills. And I make the decision right now, nevertheless, I will not settle for anything but the best. And you have never put less in my life. And I give it to you right now, and you will only make my life the best it can possibly be.